for this record, for Accidental Melody, because Fareed and I had a concept about creating something more organic and more personal and more acoustic, I think it sort of organically evolved that way in the studio. But I think with our rehearsals, informed what direction we wanted to go in, what we were trying to achieve.
Hey everybody, Mike Jeffers, Chicago Jazz Magazine, chicagojazz.com, and welcome to another episode of Around Town. Today we are talking with Joni Pilato. She has a new release coming out. Actually, I think it is out, Accidental Melody. It's her 13th release. Also, she has a very special show coming up June 11th at the Green Mill, 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. It's her record release. There's her postcard right there. And of course, you see everything linked up down below. Joni, how are you? Congratulations. 13 releases. That's more than most people put out in a lifetime, and you're nowhere near finished recording. So congratulations on that.
Thanks so much. And you know, all the records, my very first album, I think we still call them albums, was in 1982. My first release as a leader was 82 with Whisper Knot, LP Black Vinyl. So yeah, and this is my fourth recording of all original music. So I'm just very thrilled.
Well, it's exciting, and you know, there's more and more music coming out, and I think some of it, and we're going to talk about how you composed this, but I think a lot of it came out of people had some time, people took a little breather, people thought about stuff when you couldn't go outside and you couldn't go anywhere for a couple of years during the pandemic, and all this great music's coming out, all these different conceptualizations of how they want to perform, or maybe some people are reworking the way that they perform compared to what they did in the past. Listening through this, and I will admit, you need to really do a deep dive on this, because your lyrics, if you really listen to what you're saying in some of these tunes, it caught me by surprise. I'm like, that's really deep. I mean, when I'm listening to it, it was very cool. Instrumentation is incredible. First, let's talk about who's on the recording, and then I want to get into some of the tunes and some of your compositional concepts and things like that. But first, talk about who's on the recording, because I know you've played with these musicians many, many times in the past.
Actually, that's not true.
Oh.
Yeah, Fareed Haq and I have worked together probably 40 years on different records.
Yep.
And he's always been on my original music albums. On this record, we decided together to produce something a little different than I've done in the past, and tried to create something more acoustic oriented. So Fareed put the band together. I had never recorded with these guys before, so it was a wonderful experience. John Christensen on acoustic bass, who is just as great and tasty a bass player as he is such a good person. I really got to know these guys on our recordings, on the sessions, and he's a great guy. Eric Hines played percussion and played all kinds of different percussion on different tracks. He played some triangle, he played congas, bongos, you know, bell, little sounds and bells and stuff, bells and whistles. And then we brought in Juan Pastor, who added some, those were the overdub sessions. He did percussion and cajon. So the basic recording session was me with Fareed, John, and Eric. And we recorded like 9 tracks in 3 days. It was like an intense, Fareed and I always rehearse a few times together, just the two of us, to sort of flesh out the arrangements and the keys. Mm-hmm. And that's when he'll throw in his 2 or 3 cents. And
his 2 or 3 cents is worth like $300 or $400 at least, you know?
I mean, it's like... yeah, he'll say, well, let's, this song, you're doing this as a swing song. Let's try it Latin, for example, or let's keep the groove going. Or let's like shift the key here to a lower, a step down in the instrumental section, and things like that, that just brings so much to the arrangements that, you know, I wouldn't have considered otherwise. So I really am grateful to him for that.
You know, but that's part of it, right? That's why you work with, well, Fareed specifically, but that's why you work with different musicians and you bring them into the fold, because you come in with your tunes and you've got a concept of how you want to do it. But the reason why, at least my thought is the reason why you hire musicians and bring musicians into your projects, any person writing compositions probably does this. And I'm talking specifically about you now, but isn't that why you want to bring people in? Because you want to get their input so that you can get the most out of your creativity and take your project to the highest level possible, I would imagine.
Totally, Mike. I mean, yeah, just being able to work with guys that are just this talented, that bring so much to the project. And, you know, I feel that way all through the years, all the recordings I've done. I've been so fortunate to call among my friends recordings I've done for over the years with Willie Pickens, with Vaughn Freeman, with George Freeman, yours and my good friend, right? You've done a lot of features on George, and it's just great. Marshall Vente, we recorded two records together, two duet records together, Two and Two Again, which I wanted to call Two Redo, but we didn't do that. and the four records I did of original music started in 2008 when I did a CD called It's Not Easy. Howard Levy was on that record, Alejo Poveda, just so many great musicians, followed with As You Spend Your Life in 2011. And then my recording prior to this was My Original Plan from 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And it's funny because when I thought about what I was going to title this current record, Accidental Melody, I thought, gee, you know, My Original Plan, it's going to be really hard to top that for a title, because that was a great title, My Original Plan.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, I think Accidental Melody is a fun title. It makes you think, like, well, what is an accidental melody? Is that part of the songwriting process, that it just comes out like an accident, or is it planned, or, you know, things like that.
Well, talk a little bit about the concept behind, so all these tunes you go through and you wrote all of the songs, and, you know, let's talk about the how you conceptualize. I'm always curious when I'm talking to a songwriter specifically who writes lyrics, right? Because, you know, instrumentalists, you can come up with ideas, you hear a melody, you can file it that way. Uh-huh. Some people record it down and then they go back in and maybe they try to harmonize things and they come up with different ideas. So they come up with melodies. But I'm just fascinated about people that can also write lyrics, because writing lyrics is another animal and everybody approaches it differently as I talk to them. Listening to like your tunes, I mean, there's like some serious storytelling going on in the songs, but it works with the music. It doesn't sound awkward. You know how sometimes people are trying to tell a story so hard that they jam the words into the music? This is so organic and it just feels so good. What's your concept? Like, how do you come up with just what are you going to write about? Do you come up with a whole theme of the entire album, which I don't think you did, because there's different pieces of this album in there, but how do you even come up with ideas to write about, and what's your process?
Wow, that's a loaded question.
It's a lot of question is what that is.
Yeah, you know, I think I started out when I met Sparrow. You know, we'll be married 42 years this November. Congratulations. Thank
yeah,
you. But I had never sung original music until I met him, you know, joining the band to sing original music. And I was always very taken by his lyrics. He would write beautiful lyrics that just were organic and fit in with his original concept of what he was writing. And I kind of think I learned partially through osmosis from just absorbing his process of writing about what you feel in your heart, writing about sort of it everyday things that happen to you in your life, making observations about things. And I can make an example out of one of the songs I wrote, or all of them really.
Yeah.
But there's a song on the record called In the Middle of Life, which isn't really about aging. It's sort of about where we all are in the middle of our life. We're in the middle of life as we live. I was sitting on my back porch and I was observing things going on around, and I just wrote a couplet of lyrics, and it said, "The tree, the cloud, the children loud, outside my balcony." And I quick ran and I got an index card, which I do all the time, and I wrote it down on an index card, and the melody sort of was informed, well, it was informed by the lyric, "The tree, the cloud, the children loud." It informed the melody of the lyric. And that's one example of a way of writing. Sometimes you have a concept about a song, like You Think You Know. That's one of my three pandemic songs. I wrote a song in March of 2020 called Apart, right when the pandemic hit. And again, I observed what was happening to my friends and people, and, you know, we're apart, but we're not alone. We are part of each other. And then in the middle of the pandemic, when we all thought things were opening up and we could hold each other and touch and gather, but we weren't really sure. Nobody was really sure. I was across the street and Sparrow and I were having lunch, and this guy shook his hand. I've told this story before, but it's a good one. He said, "Yeah," he said, "I just got over a really bad cold, but I'm okay now. It was a week ago." And I looked at Sparrow and I said, "Go wash your hands right now." So I came home and the whole song came out. "Don't extend your hand anymore. Socializing is not like before. You think you know, you think you know, but do we know?" So that's sort of
Yeah. I can, by the way, I can remember how weird it was when I first shook somebody's hand.
Yeah.
Through everything, because we were so far and we weren't even getting near each other, and even the knuckle bumping for a little while. But
yeah,
when somebody actually shook my hand, I was like, "Oh, that's weird. I haven't done that in like 2 years." It's really
We know? But do we know? And still, do we know? Do we really know?
Yeah, right. Exactly.
When will we know?
the lost year. Did you write that during the pandemic too? Because I was listening to that. It sounds like you did, or something.
Yeah, that was kind of when things were kind of over.
Yeah,
and I looked back and I thought it kind of is the lost year, and people said, "Oh, it's the lost years," and I said, "Can't I be poetic and say the lost year?" And it's about family, friends are near, traveling brings us near, wondering what's to be. We'll always remember the lost year. And that song, when we were recording it and Fareed put it in this nice little Latin groove and the percussion and everything, the lyrics are rather serious. You know, it's all about what we were going through, but the rhythm of the music, the arrangement and the feeling of the music is really, I think, upbeat and fun. So it's interesting how you can combine things to make a statement.
You know what I like about this recording? So I should remind everybody: Accidental Melody, the record release party Sunday, June 11th, 4 to 6 p.m. GreenMillJazz.com. And I bet she's going to have some copies of it there. And I don't think she would mind signing them either, I would imagine. So that's going to be at the Green Mill. You know, the thing with the music and the lyrics. And the thing that I like about the way this was recorded, and especially the arrangements, nothing takes away from the lyric. You know, sometimes you get into something and the music is so burning that you're just listening to it's just ripping. It could very easily have happened with Fareed on this recording, that it could have just been, whoa, man. But the music and the lyric, but it never takes away from the lyrics. So the lyric really stands out, which I think is the key to all of this stuff, especially since you're writing things that are so meaningful. Was that something that just organically happened? I mean, obviously, you and Sparrow founded Southport Records, and you've recorded tons and tons of recordings in the recording process. I mean, is that something that you were conscious of when you and Fareed were working through the music? Or is that even a recording kind of thing where the levels are a certain way and things are backed off a touch? I mean, you would know more about this than anybody.
I think that for this record, for Accidental Melody, because Fareed and I had a concept about creating something more organic and more personal and more acoustic, I think it sort of organically evolved that way in the studio. But I think with our rehearsals informed what direction we wanted to go in, what we were trying to achieve. And really, Mike, I mean, Fareed isn't the type of player that's gonna stomp all over singer. When we work together anyway. I think he's a very elegant player. Obviously he can play any style of music, classical, Latin, rock, you know, funk, improv, you name it. But I've always felt that he really gets my music. He gets into the core of it and offers up something that is very special and very elegant.
Yeah, well, it definitely comes through on this. So Accidental Melody. Now let's talk about this release show and who's going to be on it. We talked a little bit before we came on air. So why don't you talk about who's going to be on it? Because you have a couple of interesting special guests too for this live event. So talk a little bit about how you're going to approach this and who's going to be joining you.
Well, again, it's at the Green Mill on Sunday, June 11th from 4 to 6 p.m. I kind of like that little time slot too. Yeah. I've had other events there on Sunday afternoons, and the audience seems to enjoy it. And I think the thing about the Green Mill is that, as you know, Dave always requests that the audience listen and be quiet and listen to the music. And it's a really good environment to feel welcome in, that you can project what you're trying to say with the music. So we have our MCs, the twins from WHPK, Brenda Phillips and Linda Hall from 88.5 FM WHPK. They're going to be there to introduce each set. We're doing two sets. So they'll be there to sort of kick things off and explain to the audience what's going on and announce the musicians. And Fareed and I will be doing duet versions of the music from Accidental Melody. And I've got my set list here. You can't see it, but I'm going back to some of my other records. I kind of want to do kind of a retrospective of my original music. I'll include some songs from my other records. And of course, Sparrow and I will do our famous duets. Sparrow is such a wonderful musician and composer in his own right. And in fact, I do want to mention that you said all of the songs on this record are my songs. They are, but in particular, The Melody of You is a song that Sparrow wrote. It's a beautiful waltz ballad. And, you know, I added a couple words, but that's really his song. So we'll be doing that and some other things. And then our special guest is Claire Johnson, Clarinda Gaudio Johnson. Now, Claire has a very unique and special talent. She has devoted her whole life trying to bring the arts to the deaf community. So she is a sign language singer. She prefers that to being called a sign language interpreter. Yes, she's going to be interpreting my lyrics, but she does it in such a beautiful, artistic, unique way of sort of painting the words in the air, in the sky. We've known Claire before we even got married. So we've been working with her over 40 years, and it's been a long time. She started out with a rock band with our good friend Johnny Magnan, the dearly departed friend, bass player John, and he had a group called Foxfire. And Claire would sign for Foxfire, and then she would sign for us. We did Chicago Fest together in 1985, and like the Lincoln Park Street Festival. And so I'm really looking forward to inviting her back to sign for us, and she will be our special guest. She won't be doing every song, but she'll be on each set doing some very special.
I do like that sign singer, because you know, when somebody is signing and they understand music, they're not just there doing it.
Right.
They get into it and they understand how to really kind of express what's happening musically, even if the person can't hear, they can only feel vibrations usually, right? So I love the term.
Yeah, good point, because she's going to be signing, and then you know when Fareed maybe will take a solo. Well, what's she going to do?
Right.
She's going to do her thing.
Yeah.
You know, we're both going to be reacting to the music. And, you know, I'm sort of an expressive performer, too. I like to use my hands and indicate things lyrically and what's going on. And so I think it's going to be cool. I think it's going to be really great.
I think
and it'll be something very special for the audience to experience if they have not. You know, sometimes you'll just see a sign language interpreter, you know, at the beginning of a show announcing what's happening.
Right.
But not really sign language singing. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think one of the only spots I've ever seen that is at the festivals downtown, really, because it's not something normally you would see at a club, obviously. So this is going to be great. So Green Mill, Sunday, June 11th, 4 p.m. to 6 p.m., greenmilljazz.com, all the info. Of course, chicagosound.com to pick up the recording, to get all the information and see all of Joni's past recordings, and Sparrow's recordings are all up there too. So I encourage everybody to check that out. Congratulations, Joni. This is incredible. And it really, I'm going to tell everybody to pick it up and then do a deep dive. Shut the lights off, sit in the dark, and just listen to the lyrics and how the music works in between with the lyrics and how it all works. It's a totally different experience, isn't it? I mean, when you close your eyes and you listen to music, it's completely different, at least for me, than like looking, because I mean, it's fun to watch people play, but when you close your eyes, you can really hear the ins and outs of what's happening. I think that's why I like saying to do it in the dark, because you can really hear everything and really get consumed by it. Maybe you think I'm nuts. I don't know, but that's my thought.
Well, you know, thank you for saying that about my lyrics, because that has become something that's sort of evolved for me in my writing and my composing. And I really feel like I'm really writing some good stuff. So thanks, Mike. I really appreciate that.
For sure. All right. Thanks for being on. And hopefully everybody will head over to the Green Mill June 11th, 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. Always good seeing you, Joni.
$10 cash at the door.
All right. And everybody, thank you for watching. And as I always say, all the information is at chicagojazz.com. And until next time, hopefully I will see someone out on the scene.